Welcome to I'm Not a Fan Unless I Have a Podcast. I'm John Hanford, and today we, you know, now we finally got into order our copies of LW on vinyl. I couldn't be happier because I've been listening to LW just nonstop, and it's weird because I have been listening, you know, to like some other podcasts that I subscribe to, or you know, I've also been listening to Mono Neon's new album, Supermane. As well as Banana Peel and Capitol Hill, which just arrived on vinyl. And that one, I think that's my favorite album of his so far. So check that out. But it's pretty much just been a rotation of you know, like the Tim Dillon Show, Mono Neon, and LW. But, you know, mostly leaning into LW. It's just frustrating because I know I've been missing out on so much of the real sonic experience of listening to that album when I've just been listening on Spotify on, you know, my shitty JBL Bluetooth speaker, because my car stereo is just fucked. And it's an old car, it's not worth replacing. So you know, but no matter what your car stereo is, like, you're not going to be getting that great quality that like you're going to get from vinyl in your living room. So I'm really excited for that. Late May, you know, I say now, it can't get here soon enough, but you know, it's going to be here before you know it. Ooh, another thing that's cool. I got my, my vaccination appointment booked. So, you know, if Red Rocks is a go, on the condition that everybody's vaccinated, I'll be there. That's pretty cool. I also, you know, back to the LW wax stuff. I want to address this now because, you know, during this podcast, I had had a tequila soda, to loosen up. Cause again, this is another podcast that we had to re-record because, you know, we both just felt the vibe was a little off. I wanted to be sure I was going to be loose, that I wasn't going to, you know, overthink. Naturally it was a fun conversation. I think it was a good episode, but, I said some stupid shit, and nothing that's going to get me canceled or anything, but, you know, as with, you're going to have this with alcohol. One of the things I said was that I hated the colors that LW was pressed in. Now, what that was based on was just what I saw Giz preview on their Instagram, for their on the Gizverse website. I ordered the Pig Flesh LP. Clancy just woke up from her nap. So I ordered the Pig Flesh. I honestly don't know why I didn't just order the Black Wax. I wasn't really that thrilled with the, with the vinyl colors to choose from, but then I saw the Flightless exclusives, the gold and the green, the broccoli latte, I should say. I am furious with myself that I missed that. I absolutely love that color scheme. It reminds me of the Seattle Sonics, and the Oakland Athletics. I was, you know, into Moneyball for a little while. I just love that color scheme. So congrats to the 2,000 of you who managed to snag one within the 5 minutes that they were available. At the end of the day, my discomfort with not getting the color of my choice is not a real problem. So I'll be happy. Anyway, let's get into the intro for today's guest. This is John, and this is his second time on the podcast. He was on back in, I think it was October. He's a guy, he was a deadhead, got into Giz, you know. I forget his origin story, we hit it off so well that his wife Cassidy drew, you know, my podcast logo, but did a way better job than, you know, what I can do in a free trial of Photoshop. So anyway, so she made a cameo too, and that was fun. Or she was in and out. But yeah, this was a real fun episode again. It's my pleasure to welcome John to the podcast.
I'm just relaxing with a tequila soda.
It is caffeinated seltzer, though. Have you ever heard of this caffeinated seltzer? Like, I think it's a new thing. Yeah, they just had it at the grocery store, so I figured, you know, why not? You know, I don't want to be spending all my money on iced coffee, so might as well get a just get a can of seltzer if I need to pick me up in the afternoon and it's hot out.
Caffeinated water.
Yeah, plus carbonation. You know, seltzer. Sweet.
Yeah, dude, I'm definitely a caffeine addict for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, right, last time, I mean, it was basically, I mean, like I just figured you were, I mean, you're close enough to the Appalachians, I just figured you were on meth, but.
Dude, it's so funny.
Yeah, no, I know what the coffee jitters are all about. I mean,
My old lady saw the video last time. She was like, you look like you're tweaking.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, you know, like there's that hip-hop artist, Crystal Method, right? So like there are high functioning tweakers out there, and because it was a great episode. It was a fun time. I was just like, all right, we you know, like honestly, like I figured it was just coffee and stuff. Yeah, I've been there.
So anyways,
dude, so King Gizzard just, I don't know if you saw this, but like a couple hours ago on Instagram, they just announced, finally we're going to get LW on vinyl. I got to say, I'm a little underwhelmed at the, like the vinyl pressing selection. I honestly don't care which one I get. They're all.
Is there two or three?
There are three of them, and three. Two of them are yellowish.
One's like gold.
Yeah, I guess so. One's like gold, and then another one's like lavender with, or like maybe like a pale blue or something. But I don't know. I was a little bummed, like, you know, because like with KG they had such a sick, you know, like that denim color, which I missed out on. I really wanted it, but you know, then I got the Let It Mellow, which is just a yellow, and that was nice. But I don't know. I'm just excited for the record to be here. I just don't. It's just nice to know that I don't have to care which pressing I get.
That's exactly how I feel about it, dude. I'm stoked for it.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, we've had a while to kind of digest the, you know, to digest LW digitally. You know, what's been kind of your takeaway from it? You know, just in terms of like whatever vibe or feeling it puts you in, or mood.
Yeah,
that's the word.
I don't, yeah, we've had this conversation a few times already, but it's sick, dude. It's sick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I mean, obviously it's sick, but like in terms of, in terms of like the songs off of it, have you gotten a feel yet for like which ones, like what part of the album?
For
like,
sure, really Static Sick. I mean, everything that they played at the Melbourne is great. The grooves are great. Cavs is great. I'm loving the whole thing. Pleura is probably my favorite single, for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, Pleura was sick. I mean, because it was, I mean, it just kind of comes out of left field. Like that dun 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 dun, but then it's got like a wacky time signature that then checks out in the end.
Yeah, and like grooves. The lyrics and the story of it got me for sure. You know what I mean? Like Lord of Lung Slaughter, come on, dude.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in a way, it's a bummer that Lord of Lung Slaughter didn't get its own song. Oh, hang on a second. Yeah, it says my connection's unstable. Why? Sorry, my internet browser opened up randomly. So I think that just kind of fucked the. There we go. Fucked up the connection. Cool.
All right, you're good. I'm back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed like all of that.
No worries. You know, I think we might as well start over since now Cass is here.
Yeah, Cass is here. She's running around. We're at the new house right now. You know what I mean? We've talked about that before.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it privately, but not for not on the podcast.
Yeah, no, we just got a new house and everything, so we're stoked for that.
Yeah,
she's putting together shelves and stuff. Cassie's my wife, obviously, you know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she did that fucking awesome picture for me, you know, which I've thanked you guys countless times for, but you know, I see it every morning, you know, when I'm on my way to the shower. So I'm just like, oh, this is, you know, it's cool to just see that and be reminded every day. But yeah, dude.
Like I said, we've had these conversations privately, so it's hard for me to get like excited about the same story that we said like three times. So that's all.
Yeah, no, dude, I can't blame you at all. And in fact, that's why I decided to have a tequila soda. I figured I'd loosen up a little bit so I can just kind of jive.
Loosen up the reel?
Yeah, just loosen up a little bit. And basically, we'll just find a good place to edit in.
Right.
Yeah,
that sounds good. But yeah, no, LW is great. I mean, Static Electricity, it was a banger when I first heard it. I was super excited when that Melbourne came out, the video for it, because it's so sick. I was watching it the other day, like after we talked and we decided to retape, and I was like making even just notes of my thoughts about it and stuff, but I left it at the house. But like just special parts, like when Stu's on the keyboards and like smiling, just that smile you catch from him, like how much fun they were having. I mean, the whole vibe.
Yeah.
It just really gives me good feelings for sure.
Well, you know, anytime you see Stu on the keyboard or, you know, just like just off to the side, it's like a great sign. Like it looks to me like here's a band, that doesn't have a conflict of like egos or anything. Like clearly Stu is a front man. It is his brainchild primarily. And he's just happy that he's got his best friends that are just right there with him. He can just step
no
off.
Doubt.
And plus like just Supreme Ascendancy played live was just, I mean, yeah. Ambrose just kind of stole the show.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That they freaking went hard, but they always Billabong Valley. I mean, I kind of shied away from that for a little while because you see it on every set list, you know what I mean? And I was kind of like, oh, but listening to the bootlegs and I've really been noticing how it stands out, how hard they go on that song, man. It's like a just a hail, you know what I mean, type thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is a completely different song from the studio version.
That's one of the songs that really caught me in the beginning. You know what I mean? Was Billabong Valley, the subject matter in the song, because I love outlaw stories or anything like that. You know what I mean? From the blues and, you know, more grassroots style music and. So that song really was one of the first ones that caught my ear when I was like, oh, that Muddy Water. Muddy Water caught me early.
Well, Muddy Water is just sick. It's got that, I mean, amazing, you know, just like shuffling drum beat. But yeah, I mean, Billabong, definitely if you're looking for subject matter, I mean, I'm all in on outlaws, bush rangers, bandits, whatever you got. I mean, favorite... You know,
Ambrose is definitely the outlaw, dude. He's the blues man. He's
Uncle Merle.
His subject matter with the Murlocs is super close to me, dealing with mental health and addiction and all those things. Like, so Ambrose really strikes a chord with me with everything, you know?
Ambrose is a fascinating guy. I would love to get the chance to like meet him, talk with him at some point. Just like, you know, not necessarily that I need to get inside his head necessarily, but like it would just be interesting because
I could totally relate to, especially Manic Candid episode album.
Yeah,
really is really great.
I've just got a shipping notification that's on the way to me. I ordered that along with the Pipe Eye represses. But yeah, Manic Candid episode is definitely the album that got me like into the Murlocs. Where I saw them as like a really viable supporting band for Giz. You know, but like before, people would hype up the Murlocs, and I didn't quite get it. Like beyond just that it's Amorosa's second band and that they're bluesy and rootsy and like they try to model themselves after the 13th floor elevators. Like I'm all about that shit, but they didn't hit with me until Manic Candid came out.
I'm not familiar with that 13th floor. I'm not familiar with them.
Oh, so they're the like one of the OG psychedelic bands ever. Like they're from the 60s out of Austin, Texas. Like the guy Rocky Erickson, he was the front man for that band, and then he later came out with his own solo stuff. But 13th Floor Elevators are definitely worth checking out. Super cool band. They because you know they're super rootsy. Like they basically, so Rocky Erickson actually came up with the term psychedelic rock or psychedelic music, like he coined it psych rock or whatever. But since they were one of the original bands, like they actually incorporated a lot of Southern roots and like they incorporated the jug into a lot of their songs.
Well, the Dead was a jug band.
Yeah.
Dead started out as a jug band.
I didn't know that. I just said, because it sounds like a Dead thing to do. Band. I had no idea.
Yeah, man. Then they were the Warlocks and then the Dead after that.
I knew about the Warlocks. I didn't realize that they were ever a jug band, but, you know, I haven't done my research.
It's interesting. It's like, you know, because Jerry came from the bluegrass world before. He was a banjo picker before he was an electric guitar player. So,
you know, that's fascinating.
Kind of in between, like, Warlocks and, like, Bluegrass Mountain, you know.
Yeah. You know, because now that you mentioned that Jerry, I actually didn't know that Jerry Garcia was a banjo player, but it makes a lot of sense, you know, given like the single notes that the Dead, you know, used a lot in their songs and picking style. Because like my other, you know, one of my other favorite bands, the Meat Puppets, their bassist actually started on, actually they, but both their guitarist and bassist started out on banjo as kids. And so like they definitely sort of incorporate like that, maybe not bluegrass, but definitely like a bit of a country western twang.
Yeah, I'm sure the picking style is different, I'm assuming. So, you know, five string banjo, and then probably like more of that noodly finger movement, I guess.
Yeah, and a lot of it's noodling with the picking hand too.
Right, right.
It's actually more noodling with the picking hand than it is with the, you know,
with
like
the
usually the left hand is just, or you know, whatever hand's on the fretboard is holding the chord.
No doubt.
It's just fascinating. I love that shit. Wouldn't it be great if Giz came out with a bluegrass album? I mean, if they went down the bluegrass path, why not?
Hell yeah. I mean, they tend to murder every other genre, so, wow, you know what I mean? Why not?
I mean, just stew with a fucking jug. Like if you could play the flute, you could play the jug, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. That's hilarious.
God, I mean, I will hold my breath for this.
I'd be fucking stoked for it, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean... It would go so well as just when you look at how far Giz has come since they released Paper Mache Dream Balloon in 2015, when you see how far they've come musically, like there's no reason that they couldn't put out like, you know, a volume two acoustic music, but with sort of a bluegrass bent, you know,
even just an acoustic album, maybe, I don't know. An electric acoustic album or something. Who knows? Everybody has an unplugged thing, kind of, I guess. So.
Yeah, but you know what I noticed is that, like, with East West Link, pretty much all the guitar on that is acoustic. Like it's just that, is that it? Yeah. I mean, cause like, it kind of sounds like the same tone that Stu got from like that acoustic solo in Straws in the Wind. I think it's just another song where you used his iPhone to record acoustic guitar, and it sounds like,
well,
sort of tinny.
Isn't that sounded to me like the more Middle Eastern strings, I guess. Maybe I was wrong.
Well, I think we're both right. I think Stu just kind of gets that sound by using the iPhone microphone, just because it does have that. Like he did this. Stu did this interview with KEXP a few months ago, like after KG came out, and he discussed how he discussed how like he would use his iPhone to like, specifically because it sounded sort of shitty, but more specifically because it cut through like the rest of the sound, because like that's how the iPhone is sort of designed, you know, so that like it's able to isolate the important parts.
Crazy. Yeah. Somebody just said that to me like 2 days ago. Babe, remember that kid said that? He was like, I heard that band records their albums on an iPhone or something. I was like, I don't know. I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried it. You know what I mean?
Oh, but yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's how they recorded 12 Bar Brews. It was, I think it was four iPhones just placed in various parts of the room.
You know what was cool, man, was when I was starting to kind of delve into 12 Bar, Teenage Gizzard came out like right at the same time.
Oh yeah.
So I kind of had those albums together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, no, for sure. That's so cool. So like you're pretty recently into the 12 Bar. Like,
well, I bought it on vinyl. So I started listening to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before that, I mean, I would listen to it once or twice digitally, but I never really delved into it heavy.
But that's fair.
So at the same time, I was kind of getting heavier into that. I was digging that sound. Teenage came out, so that was super cool.
Yeah. Well, have you gotten into Willoughby's Beach at all? I mean, I'm guessing you don't have that on vinyl yet.
Yeah, right. No, I really haven't, dude. Like, one time I played it through, like, 2 years ago, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but...
Yeah, that's like, because I so I
and
just
I'm not
got
saying the, that, yeah, like, there will be a time, you know what I mean? I just haven't forced it, you know what I mean? Whatever day I finally choose to let it spin and, you know what I mean, take it for a ride, then that's when it'll be, so.
I mean, that's honestly probably the best approach to have, but it was interesting, because, I mean, just because, like, Willoughby's Beach is to me, it's pretty adjacent to 12 Bar, you know, it was like the EP just before it came out. I still haven't gotten I never ordered a pressing of Teenage Gizzard. I've been holding off for just a while. I think I want to get all their studio albums before I start really going all out on the bootlegs.
Yeah. See, I mean, I'm stoked for the bootlegs, man. To me, it's not even... I have a couple of different copies, I think, of the same show, because it's the whole package, the artistry with who's doing what, you know what I mean? Whatever. If it's really artistic to me and I dig it, I might snag it up. You know what I mean?
For that reason. I should also mention that like, it's not that I'm against bootlegs, because, you know, I have promoted bootlegs on here before, putting it in relative terms, I am only one Oddments album away from completing my Giz collection. So once I have Oddments, then I will venture into Teenage Giz probably and the rest of the bootlegs.
No doubt.
But I did order one of the Live in London.
What pressing Oddments are you trying to get?
None in particular, just whichever pressing my local record shop gets in first, or...
Dude,
Oddments
was
one
of the first ones I grabbed off of a Gizverse.
It's got some of the best, like artwork on the album.
I love it. I love the album too. Some of my favorite songs are like that whole album. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean that album was such an interesting like different foray into Giz for me, because like that was one of, I think that was might have been the third album that I listened to. And you know, because I wanted to hear some of their earlier stuff, but maybe not their first album, so I put on Oddments. It looked cool, so I listened to it, and it was, I mean, it was just fascinating, because like there was no real cohesive theme, like Polygon Dwanaland or Microtonal Banana. It was, you know, it was all.
Well, I have that repress of it or whatever, and Stu writes that thing in it and talks about when they made it or whatever and where they got the ideas from and all that. Yeah, which is,
I mean, it was cool how they put Crying on that album, you know, Cookie song. He wrote that when he was 16, apparently. Very, very cool.
Yeah, Hot Wax and Sleepwalker are like, Hot Wax, I think, is what drew me into Oddments, because I like that song so much.
I mean, it's captivating, right? It's not necessarily like a great song off the top of the that, but like,
yeah, that harmonica riff just fucking blows, dude. I love that.
Yeah, I like that you use it blows in a good way. It's I agree. Blowing should lose its stigma,
no doubt.
Anyway, I mean, yeah, and like Work This Time obviously is like, you know, just a classic one-off Giz track. I mean, like that was such a different sound from Giz, because that's, you know, one of Joey's first songs, if not the first that he wrote for Giz.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, I mean, the whole, everything about Work This Time, I think, is just, I don't know, kind of revolutionary in a weird way. Maybe I'm just like a lightweight, but but just in terms of like how it begins with like that drum roll and the tom, and it's like varying in crescendos, like,
yeah,
it's just so cool.
I mean the guitar solo gets me on that for sure.
Yeah,
especially live.
Because live is like really when Joey gets featured on the guitar for that.
He doesn't play it on
Oddments. No, the solo, it doesn't really there isn't really much of a solo beyond just that refrain.
I gotta go back and check
I think
out.
You've been listening to the live version just a lot more than the album the album version. That's why when they play Work This Time live, it's like a totally different song. Because Joey just fucking shreds this sick blues thing that he didn't see coming.
What the fuck song did I love on that Melbourne that was out that Joey did? My memory is
man. Minimum Brain Size.
I don't
know
what about me, but I had accident, so my memory is really bad. I fucking can't remember anything. So
honestly,
small details and stuff is tough for me at times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, like that hasn't really come through at all. Don't worry about that if you're like getting insecure or something. But Minimum Brain Size was Joey's song off of KG.
There it is.
And or one of the, you know, Intersport being the other one that they, of course, unfortunately haven't played live. But Minimum Brain Size, that song is, I think that is his. It might be his best song, if not for This Thing, or good. It's one of the sickest riffs.
For sure. I think that and This Thing are top bangers for sure.
Yeah, well, but
out then, of just his period, not, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's, but you know, Joey has like such interesting lyrics and subject matter. I mean, just everything about his songs are, I think, equally as interesting as Stu's.
100%.
But they're so 100%. Different. They're just a totally different vibe and speed from what Stu does. But in a way, like, you can tell that they sort of influence each other. Yeah, I don't know. Joey appreciation tangent. That's what this
fuck
was.
Fuck you, Joey, for sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think if there was anybody from Giz that I could have on the podcast, it would be Joey.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's fucking hilarious. Like you listen to his song, you know, Superposition off of Gumboot. You know, he has like just the lyrics from that song. You have to look them up online to really understand what they are. But like, I mean, they're just fascinating and funny, but also really deep. And like, I'm all into that shit, you know, like he's, you know, let me pull up the lyrics here. Because I forget what they are exactly, but off of Superposition, fucking got to prove I'm not a robot to the AI.
See, I wish if I had my records here, they're at the old house, I would pull it out.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Lyrics in there.
You know what? I have it in the corner, but anyway, here I got them pulled up. No, but yeah, so he says, where is it? Oh, motherfucker! They pulled up the wrong thing. I'm sorry, listeners. This is me trying to Google after one shot of tequila. But okay, no, right, but he's just like, trace your finger from birth to hearse and drink the cum of life. I mean, like that's...
Say it again.
Yeah. It's worth repeating. I lost my place. Okay. Exist outside the lace of time and your heart will pump the blood of mine. Trace your finger from birth to hearse and drink the cum of life. I mean, you know,
hell yeah, that's you say cum's we're hilarious. All fucking one, dude.
What's that? What did you say?
It's saying we're all one, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like we're all one.
Trace
and also
your finger, the palms of your hand, lines on your hands and shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like also just like
birth to death.
Yeah, exactly. Just from birth to death, realize that like, you're not guaranteed any certain number of years. But it's just funny that he says, drink the cum of life. Like, like that was, he was like, you know, that's the phrasing I'm going to use. In a way I think it works the best. Cause like, it's such a morbid kind of like jarring thing to say, but like, when you think of it, it's like, well, hell yeah, of course I'll drink the cum of life, because like you gotta surrender to it and
gotta go
some
for
point.
It, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like it's just yeah, I don't know.
Cracking up.
Yeah. I mean like I don't know shit about cum drinking, but apparently you get a little bit of tequila in me and I'll open up all possibilities. even if we are just on Zoom, I don't know. I should get an OnlyFans.
An OnlyFans gives fucking thing.
Yeah, right. as if a podcast wasn't niche enough. Here, jack off to me.
that's hilarious, man.
Oh man, I'm running out of booze. No, but no, that is absolutely fun. And luckily,
who does that for like visual production and shit? Is it the same ones like from Chunky to who did the Melbourne show?
Yeah. So so for that they use PHC Films, which is just John Angus Stewart. Yeah. But that's something I just really like about Giz is how they like they take their photographer with them on tour. You know, Sublation, Jamie, long Polish last name, and and then they got Jason Galea doing all their visuals and everything.
Yeah.
During the show and the album art. And then they got this guy, John Stewart, just doing like doing these great videos that very much have their own feel to them. And he also has done videos with, what's her name? Amy, I forget her last name, but Amy from Amel and the Sniffers. Because she did a video with Joey, for, what's his band? His solo project, Bull Ant. Yeah, no Jeremy's doubt. Electronics.
I didn't know project. He had solo shit.
Yeah, it's just one album so far, but yeah, it's just called Bull Ant, and it's pretty much like the second half of Acarine. Like it's basically all kind of like that stuff, which is pretty cool. Right.
Oh, like the more synthy sound?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt. Synthy and poppy. Yeah, it's definitely like, you know, sort of like house or club music, I think. Yeah. I don't really go to parties or go to clubs, but it's what I imagine them being like.
Yeah.
And
yeah, dude, fucking did you hear that Bootleg put together that music to Kill and Eat Bad Banana People too?
Yeah, I fucking love that. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
But
yeah. That's like, I was listening to that and Cassie was like, this is like techno, blah, blah.
Sound like the EDM, and that reminds me of the Gorillaz.
Oh yeah, Gorillaz, she said, reminds me.
Yeah,
yeah. I love that anyway. That story was mad fun to listen to.
Wait, which one?
The Banana People music one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The storyline in it. The Hontayumi number 10.
You know, I just realized this. I really don't listen to the story that much. I think really what gets me with Giz is just the...
And sees that there's good banana people and they teach him how to dance and that the state's lying to him. And he comes to the realization of that and becomes the 10th boogie. It's mad cool, dude.
Oh, shit. How did that not find its way onto an album? That is great.
I just got the CDR of it today. Hold on. Give me one second.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see what I got here. Yeah, this came today. I was super stoked about it. That's the artwork on the CD. My lighting's terrible in here, but yeah, and then it came with that too.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I totally forgot because I was on Bandcamp and I was like, dude, if I'm gonna pay for the digital, I might as well get the CD too with the cool artwork and stuff. Yeah, it came today. I totally forgot, so I was stoked about it.
No, that's awesome. The because my favorite track off of or one of my favorite tracks off of the demos was the Music to Eat Bananas to. I mean, it was just like, I was like, hell yes, this is gonna put me in like a perfect mood. Like if I was just playing on a loop all day, I would like just put me in like a padded room and with that playing on a loop, I will live out the rest of my life with that and feel totally fine. I don't need the padded room. The pads are just for comfort, really. just so I can lie down on the floor. Yeah, the straitjackets just helped me meditate better. It's a sensory deprivation suit.
Next time I'm there, I'm gonna tell them that shit too.
Yeah. But
truth, babe.
Well, I'm glad that's relatable content. that like led to a weird tangent. But and also like the glare from your glasses right now, just into the computer screen, is just like it's fucking with me. So I'm like,
oh shit! Turn that light back off.
Oh yeah, it might actually just be that overhead lighting.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That honestly, that lighting's fine.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. You're good. And like, I'll do some edits and production.
We're broadcasting from Bogan Grove, dude. That's what we christened our property.
Bogan Grove. Very cool. I mean, I'm guessing that's Bogan in relation to the Australian slang.
Yeah. Yep.
Murlocs,
straight up.
Wait,
they have a song called Broken Grove.
Well,
okay. Yeah. Well, that's fucking sick. Because so are you guys familiar with what Bogan with the meaning of Bogan? Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
I learned it from, I think my, God, it might have been like my fourth or right fifth guest on this podcast, but yeah, it was like, yeah, the girl from Australia.
I think I heard what that term was on like, it was on like a tattoo show on TV, and the dude was from Australia, and they used it to describe the tattooer who was like, you know what I mean? He was a white dude, and yeah, they're like a bogan, you know what I mean? Calling him a bogan and shit.
Yeah. No, I mean,
then that was years before I even knew the Murlocs and shit. And then I heard that, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I describe bogan as being like tasteful white trash. Like it's
yeah, straight up.
Yeah. Like there's
I'm familiar with there. The trailer parks. So, you know, it strikes home.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, fucking Trailer Park Boys is like one of the best shows of all time. Like, yeah, and
love Trailer Park Boys. Great.
Yeah, I've got a buddy who lives in a park, like just down in Desert Hot Springs around here.
I just love Canadians, dude. Canadians are awesome.
Yeah, and like you guys are pretty close, like 5 hours from Toronto.
Yeah, not that far.
Yeah,
from the border, anyways. Yeah.
Well, we're in Erie World.
Yeah, Erie's where I'm originally from, which is 2 hours north of here.
Oh, yeah,
We're like 20 minutes outside of Pittsburgh right now. But Niagara Falls is only like an hour and a half from up there.
Yeah, because I did a road trip from when I was living in Pittsburgh, I did a road trip from there to Toronto. And it was, just a beautiful drive. And the Border Patrol was great going into Canada and then coming back into the U.S. It was a bit of a hassle, but it's a gorgeous drive up there. Anyway, that's neither here nor
there. Man, fucking April's, dude, side goodies, of course, on Bicycle Day.
Dude, I saw those those hand I don't know what you call it, like the lightning hand mind fuzz earrings.
Right.
Awesome. Yep. I like if only that's I had like... my ears pierced, I would probably get them, but no, dude, Psychotes is fucking killing it.
Yeah, they're great, man. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, I talk to them from time to time just on DM, just because like I've been trying to get them on the podcast for a while and it just the timing hasn't worked out with their schedule, but I just love like all their stuff that they got going on.
They're great, man. I reached out to them. I was trying to find a copy of that Asheville that they collaborated with,
with Mr.
You know
Jack.
What, man? I was like, let me just reach out and see, you know what I mean? I was like, hopefully I'm not out of line, blah 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 blah. And then he was just mad cool. We've had a few conversations. And then on their Facebook group, Psygoodies and Friends or whatever, I was just like, man, I really would like to get a hold of one of those gator boot suit pins that you guys did. And he was like, hey, we hear you. And sent me one for a great price, dude, you know, which that's not even important. But yeah. Cheaper than what I even think they released it for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just send me this and I got you, dude. Which was so cool. Cause I mean, to not even really know them that well and for having me that cool, man, those guys are great.
I mean, it just goes to show like how great the Giz fan community is. And like, I feel like it's overplayed. I talk about it ad nauseum on here, but like, it's seriously, it can't be stated enough. Like you put out I sincerely believe like you put out, you know, the energy you want to attract, and like
100%.
And it seems that a lot of people, especially the people who are most motivated within the Gizverse and Giz community, are, I don't know, somewhat also on that wavelength, where it's just like, all right, sure, we'll sell to you. The money doesn't really matter. They just basically want to make it back and like
it's
give people cool
it's
shit.
Just all about like you said, you get what you put in, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're putting out the right shit and, you know what I mean, doing the right thing, then it comes back around.
For sure. And just like do it.
Which goes to, like, I mean, that's what Giz is to me. It's not a band. I mean, it's my way of life, 100%, all the way in the way. I mean, everything that they do, first of all, you know what I mean? But just the way it makes me think, move, perceive, you know what I mean? Everything is just, it's helped me be a better conscious person of everything around me, 100%, you know? So it's just great, man. I found it at a good time in my life, for sure.
Dude, I yeah, same. I credit them wholeheartedly with reinvigorating my creative spirit. So many of their songs are simple, but you know, but they really hit and they work, and like you have to be a genius to assemble them the way that they do. But like they're so simple in technicality that I'm just like, why wouldn't I just start playing my own music and just creating shit and just playing shit that's fun and playful and just, you know, just be a kid. And, you know,
whether it's like subliminal or unsubliminal, like who knows, man.
Yeah.
Maybe the repetitive hooks in all their music and stuff has an underlying sound that we're catching on a frequency that makes you act that way, you know what I mean, towards things.
I mean, hey, wouldn't
it's just a thought.
No. I'm gonna give that some credence, because like I how hilarious is that to like any MTV marketing or like music exec, record label, like mainstream record label executive, just being like, we need to find a sound that like gets people hooked, and King Gizzard is off the table. They're not for sale. Fuck you, record industry. No, like it's so, and I'm like, that's so funny to me.
That's why they're the fucking wizards, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so actually, would you say that differs at all from what the Grateful Dead were doing?
I mean, the Dead totally did a lot of that in their way and paved the way for that, but Gizd is doing it on, well, Flightless, first of all.
Contemporary,
it's now. Yeah, yeah, and that's a big part of it too, because like even me going to Dead shows, I never saw Jerry, you know, and it was kind of always a previous thing, you know what I mean? And this is now, you know what I mean? It's involved with the things that are happening on around us, with the people that are, you know what I mean? We're literally experiencing it, you know?
Contemporary,
yeah, I really like that perspective, because that is how I feel about a lot of like what the world is now, especially in terms of like entertainment culture and like celebrity culture now. Like who gives a shit what's happening on the Tonight Show? Like it's it's like the least relatable thing in the world. But then you have
fucking cable in 100 years, dude.
I mean, neither have I, but I mean, you like, know,
totally dig what you're saying, for sure.
Yeah, but it's just like but Giz, they're just like, hey, we're no better than you, we're just regular guys, and we don't 100%. Really,
they're mad accessible, dude, like, you know what I mean? It's a community.
It's fun, because like my one of my best friends says they're inaccessible. He doesn't like King Giz. He's a huge Deadhead, but hates King Giz.
Really?
Because he thinks that, like, he hasn't really gotten into like the whole culture element of King Giz. He's only looking at the music, or like listening to the music. He's just like, these guys are just trying way too hard to be original, you know, too hard to be original. And and I'm just like, you're missing the point. You're missing the point entirely. But you know, you're not going to get across to everybody.
True. But I would think a Deadhead would, you know, dig it. But,
well, you know, it's funny.
Same type of, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's the same animal, different head or whatever that, you know.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, what got him into the Dead was John Mayer.
Oh fuck!
Because, but like, you also have, as a Dead fan, you also have to give a lot of credit to John Mayer's guitar skills. And
I've seen Mayer a few times with Dead and Co. And you know, it is what it is.
I mean, juxtaposed to what to his review of
I've seen Trey play with the dead. I've seen Warren Haynes play with the dead. You know, so all these different cats. John Kay, I've seen play with them. You know, so Mayer's definitely not in my top at all.
Yeah, I've heard that from other deadheads, but I was just like, you know what? Maybe that's just they're just like gatekeepers. But yeah,
I'm definitely no gatekeeper.
I know you're not, but like it's all just so funny to me just hearing like very different takes on John Mayer. Yeah. In relation to the dead, but that was just
but I mean I take it for what it is, you know, it's cool. I've paid to see them, so you know what I mean, what are you gonna do?
Well, right, and like you're still gonna get, I think, for the most part the same kind of crowd.
It is a good show. It was just an odd choice, and Mayer can play the blues and shit from what I understand. Yeah, that's cool. A lot slower, you know, for sure, tempo wise with everything. But
well, I mean, is do you think that might just be because they're all old?
Probably, 100%.
Yeah, you know, I gotta say, I think I'm looking forward to old King Giz, just playing stuff slower. not that they play stuff too fast, but I think there's a
it depends on the day for me, dude. And basically, I mean, every day I'll probably listen to half their shit or something rotation in a day. It's just what order is it going to be that day, you know what I mean? Because I got headphones on at work. I work outside, so you know, I have all day just to listen to whatever.
Hell yeah. No, but I think it's because Cass got a little cut off earlier when she was talking about, I think she added something into the to our dead conversation and it didn't quite pick up, you laughed. I thought it was funny probably. So I wanted to get it for the audience.
Yeah, I think she said that she loves John Mayer.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
It is what I said.
Yeah.
Cool.
And we this pretty well, so
you know, and that gives. I was just gonna hit on that because, like, that gives me hope for my friends and my you know, the future of our friendship. I did actually at one point have him on this podcast as just like to basically play devil's advocate for a whole episode as to why he didn't like King Giz, and it was honestly pretty invigorating. I got a lot of good feedback from that. So I forget which number it is, but you guys should be able to figure it out. You know, so like we did at one point try to record this episode, you know, last week or a week and a half ago. And so we talked we tried to talk about the Melbourne show, but sort of missed it. And like we do kind of talk about it here, like, you know, being a John Angus Stewart film and production type of thing. Now I forget, had you seen Chunky Shrapnel, the film?
I've seen it. Somebody sent it to me. This was a while back. I asked about it and somebody sent me files there, but they were like broken up. You know what I mean? I had to watch it like that, but yeah.
Yeah.
But then I just saw that Raw Chunky. I think you mentioned it. And I went and was like, oh shit. Isn't that what you mentioned last time we talked?
Yeah. Yeah. They did cause like they just released a few weeks ago, just like some of the tests, I guess. Yeah. The test runs.
Cut off and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they were just doing some of their, like I guess John Angus Stewart wanted to get his settings right or whatever, you know, like you always want a test run before you do the real thing. So they did that at some of their Australia tours, some of their Australia shows before the
work. Chunky was Europe, right? And then that one, yeah.
Yeah. God, I would love, I mean, I've been to Europe a couple times. I would love to just go on the next Giz tour.
Giz Europe tour?
Yeah, that would be the ultimate trip.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I've never been to Europe, but I would totally go for a Giz tour, no doubt.
Hell yeah. God.
I mean, I'm trying to do at least all the East Coast shows this fall. Yeah. So
well, and you guys are doing Red Rocks, right?
Yeah, we're going to Red Rocks. We're going to go for like a week and then, you know what I mean, stay out there, do both nights. And then Chicago, we got tickets for. It's either going to be probably Philly or D.C. I'm thinking maybe D.C., then Asheville.
I've heard nothing but good things about Asheville. And that's not only from the, I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I've never been. Cassidy has, and she loves it, dude. So everybody that goes there loves it. So
yeah. Without fail, every single person I've ever talked to that's been to Asheville is just like, oh, that's the only part of North Carolina you should even go to. And I'm just like, right. Well, Raleigh's pretty good too, but there's like Asheville is where it is. And I mean, yeah, just that show that Giz played there was my favorite from all their all their live shows. Yeah.
What did they do? They did Bitter on that? Bitter Boogie on that?
They closed with that.
That shit was bad shit, dude.
Well, I mean, that was great, but I still what gets me from that show was just that transition from Cy Boogie to Loyalty.
Yeah.
Because then they played Horology and like, yeah, I mean, it was just such
a Crumbling. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. They didn't do Crumbling Castle or Inner Cell.
That shit there though.
Yeah. Yeah, just that suite when they started playing that on the 2019 tour dates, I was just like, this is next level live. I mean, obviously, Crumbling Castle into the Fourth Color, like that's awesome, but just yeah. To see those three songs.
Loyalty is one of my fucking favorites anyways, dude, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and just seeing those three connected and yeah, just the whole storyline there. That is a storyline that I actually looked into.
Wait, dude. I'm chomping at the bit every day for this fucking tour coming up, dude. I can't wait, man.
Dude, I me too. I mean, I'm honest. In a way, like King Giz is just, they're melting my mind in such a way that I'm just like, all right, whenever they play is when they're going to play. And whatever they play, I'm going to enjoy it. You know,
fucking right, exactly.
Like there are so many songs specifically that I would love to hear off of the new albums and the old ones, but I know better than to request.
I learned that with the Dead shows, man. You know what I mean? You can't project what you want the set list to be or your perfect set list or anything like that. You got to catch the groove and catch what they're throwing out, and that makes that day and that show special. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, for sure, man. But dude, I before we wrap up here, is there anything that you've been thinking about or hi Cass, is there anything I think she's made her way into the background doing a cameo a few times. Yeah.
Dude, we're in the middle of like moving in this house and doing all this stuff. I'm like, you can't do shit for an hour on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, but dude, and congrats again. I wish you congrats off air, but like,
dude,
I'm so thrilled for you guys.
If you're ever on the East Coast doing comedy or anything, dude, we'll definitely check you out if you're close by.
Dude, absolutely. I definitely aim to, you know, make it up there, you know, back to Pittsburgh again. Bunch of people I've got to visit out there.
100%. Oh yeah.
But yeah, but you know, I didn't quite get to ask my final question. Is there anything that you've been thinking about, you know, that we haven't really discussed?
Nah, man. My thing right now is this Murlocs drop. That's what I'm fucking stoked for. And then I found out today by LW, which, you know what I mean, I'm stoked about. But I got the Melbourne coming on vinyl too. So, you know, I'm super stoked about this Murlocs drop in the Uncle Merle edition of the EP. I'm fired up for that for sure, dude.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet on the Murlocs. Like I ordered my Manic Candid episode and Loopholes. LPs along with Pie Pie Represses.
I just ordered an old locomotive. It's like black and silver edition.
Wait, no, old locomotive is what I ordered. It was it was that one in Manic Candid,
which is a cool album. You know what I mean? I'm stoked to hear it on vinyl. You know what I mean? Because the only vinyl I have is Manic Candid, and it's super fire.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm excited to hear all this shit. These flavorless pressings.
I felt the Murlocs faster than I did Gibbs, but that's more at my roots.
Because she's loving Ambrose, dude. So I think Ambie had like substance issues. I think from his lyric content, and like his whole vibe, dude. You know what I mean?
Sounds like my cousin.
Oh yeah. Her cousin was a harmonica player. He passed away. Her cousin Graham. What was Unhinged Manable? Was
the band? Unhinged Manable.
Yeah. But she says that they play the harmonica similar, like real aggressive, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Style, so.
Yeah, you know, there's this other, and I'm so sorry for your loss, but there was this other, like one of the best harmonica players I've ever seen live was this blues guy named Paul DeLay. And I saw him at Jazz Alley in Seattle. Must have been like back in 2005 or something, because he was playing with Pine Top Perkins. It was Muddy Waters' keyboard player. I've seen that. I mean, this dude was like deaf, but still going at 98, and still playing like old school, like, you know, Kansas City, here I come. Pine Top Perkins, but the harmonica player was Paul DeLay. And he died maybe a year or two after that. He was like 350, 400 pounds or something, but played the fuck out of the harmonica. It was just the coolest thing to see. I mean, there's just something about harmonica that it just calls your soul, you know?
I'm a huge Bob Dylan fan from way back, dude, so. Harmonica has always been in my blood, you know.
For sure, yeah. But like Bob Dylan wasn't playing like the wailing type of, you know, blues harmonica.
No. Pigpen was a badass harmonica player for the Dead. Ron McKern and Pigpen.
Word.
Yeah, he was sick, dude. Who else? That fucking cat from the Blues Travelers has a badass harmonica.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yo, Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. What is his name?
Oh, I'm not sure, but oh, I was gonna say Ozzy Osbourne, great harmonica player, you know. In the Wizard
and shit, dude. Yeah. For sure. Hell yeah. Fucking Beastie Boys sampled that shit, I think.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it's either Cypress Hill. Cypress Hill does. They sample the fucking harmonica from fucking.
From the Wizard.
What the fuck, Wizard?
Yeah, that's so cool. God, Cypress Hill, yeah. A lot of those like 90s bands that a lot of people like, you know, we all kind of laugh about, because it's like, how the fuck are we nostalgic for the 90s? But like, we are.
For sure, dude.
But it's just, it's so funny to see like how many of those artists like had such good taste and like good influence and everything.
I'm a big hip-hop fan, dude, especially like 90s boom bap Wu-Tang Nas type thing. I love all that shit, dude.
Yeah, I mean, shit, yeah. Nas, I mean, he sampled old blues tracks and shit.
Well, his dad was a blues player.
Oh, really?
He's on a record with him. Yeah,
that's cool. I had no idea.
They do like a Muddy Waters cover style song together and use the hook from Muddy Waters and shit.
Right. Yeah. Because that's what I knew about that, but I didn't know that his dad was on that track too. That's so fucking cool.
Yeah, that's his dad playing.
That's awesome. Dude, John, thank you so much for coming on the podcast again.
Hey, my pleasure, dude. So you're going to slow it down now? Not every week?
Yeah, probably not every week. It's just because stuff's opening up again. I've got a dog, oh, yeah. And like I've got just so much of my own stuff going on that like it's hard to maintain a weekly podcast anymore. Like I already
for sure.
Yeah, how many episodes did you get so far?
Oh, I mean this is the 58th. So it's
50 something. Yeah.
Yeah, 58. We're pretty good. I mean, and like it's not gonna. I don't plan on ending the podcast because like. There's always going to be new stuff to talk about at some point with Giz There's always going to be cool new people to talk to. And it's also a way for me to like, you know, combine what I'm doing with a fan base that already exists. You know, like I want my fans to be the same as King Giz fans, you know? So,
well, dude, I'll tell you, man, when I first came upon your podcast, dude, I was like, oh shit, this dude's doing his thing. And then I got into a little bit and you're mad accessible. You seem like an accessible dude. Like, you know what I mean? People by the people type thing. So I that's what I vibed off of, man. So I reached out to you and here we are, dude. We'll fucking see each other fucking at one of these shows for sure.
Oh, yeah. Red Rocks.
Everybody's going to be there, but yeah, dude.
Yeah.
We'll be there for sure. Two nights. We'll fucking throw down afterwards for sure.
Oh, hell yeah. All right. John, it's been so much fun talking with you again. Take it easy.
My pleasure, dude.